This morning we're looking at a promising passage of Scripture that Jesus gave to His disciples just hours before He would be led away to be crucified. The next day He will die on the cross for our sins. John chapter 15, I'd encourage you to have your Bible open because we want to look at what Jesus said to those men. And I'm just going to read several verses, and then we'll be looking at these 17 verses during our message in kind of an overview study of this text. I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now look at verse 16 also. Jesus speaking to His disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Abiding in Jesus, that's what I want us to consider this morning, folks. If I had just one chapter of God's Word, if I could only choose one chapter, and all of the rest would be taken away, I would want to choose John chapter 15 in terms of our one day at a time life on planet Earth. If there's one chapter of Scripture that I want to know, not just theoretically or academically or theologically, but in terms of everyday living, I want to know and understand John chapter 15. That would always be my choice concerning how does this life work, this life with Jesus Christ. When I was in Israel, I took hundreds of pictures. This is years ago. And my favorite one was a vineyard on a bright blue sky day. We were walking through the area of Jerusalem, and I saw a vineyard, and I got underneath the branches of that vineyard looking up to the blue sky, and I took a picture of a fruitful branch attached to a strong vine. That was in 1970, a long time ago, when I took that picture. And it was at that time in my own life when I was just beginning to know and to learn about the vine and the branch life, the abiding life in Christ. Until that time, I really didn't have a concept of that. One beautiful day when my son and I were driving through the spectacular Rocky Mountains, he turned to me and he asked me, Dad, what does God want from my life? And immediately, the answer was in my mind and heart, Jeff, God wants us to abide in Christ. That's what the Christian life is all about, abiding in Christ. I want to say this morning, people, if God only gave me one prayer request for the rest of my life, if He said, Pastor Richard Krenz, there's only one thing you can ask for me, I tell you honestly, I would ask Him, Lord, teach me to abide in Jesus as a clinging, trusting branch attached to the strong, healthy, life-giving vine, Jesus Christ. I remind you this morning, friends, that the Apostle John declared that the ultimate bottom line question at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ for His believers, am I abiding in Christ? 1 John 2, when the Apostle John, 90 years old or more, came to the end of his life, the only surviving apostle of Christ, the only one who had survived martyrdom for the sake of the gospel, when he wrote to the first century Christians, he said this, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we will not be disappointed. John said, now we're the sons of God. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like or what we shall be like, but we know when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. And until that time, John said, there's one thing for a Christian to do. Abide in Christ. Dear friends, do you know what that means? Do you understand that in terms of your one day at a time life, your walk with Christ, of what Jesus meant? Abide in me just as a branch is attached to a strong, healthy vine. Jesus' words recorded in John chapter 15 are a text, I think, that should stimulate and encourage our faith every single day. And I know, as a preacher of the Bible, that we could spend weeks on this single chapter of God's edifying word. But my plan this morning, folks, after looking at this text, is to summarize this supreme text from the words of Jesus with just one message. And we're going to focus our minds and hearts on four phrases that I want to mention to you, and I hope you might highlight in your Bible or in your notes, that will teach us how to experience the fruitful life that Jesus promised to his men. Jesus promised to every one of us who is a believer that our life can experience supernatural fruitfulness in the context of the kind of world in which we're living. So listen carefully this morning, dear people, as though Jesus is speaking only to you. First of all, the first phrase is in verse 1. I highlight that in my notes. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Interesting terminology that he uses with his men. He knows they're troubled. They're afraid. The momentum, the hostility is building in Jerusalem to put Jesus to death, and it's going to happen within 24 hours, and his men who followed him for these 3.5 years are struggling in their faith. And Jesus said, men, here's what I want you to know at this hour. I want you to know that I am the true vine. There were vineyards all around the area. And he's saying, I am the true vine. And that is a statement, dear people, of his availability to his men every day of life. Today, he's available to us. He's the true vine. Every day, just one day at a time. And these words are going to speak to us about a relationship with Christ, an attachment to him, an attachment to Jesus Christ, a connection, a bond the believer has with that man who is the God-man, the Creator and the Savior. Now, I want to highlight, as you notice, let's read the first three verses, and I'm going to highlight in those three verses something related to the fact that Jesus is the true vine. He said, I'm the true vine. My Father's a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now, the main point of that little short paragraph is that Jesus is the true vine. But I want to highlight some of the words he used to explain that. The word true. That's an amazing thing for Jesus to speak to his followers at that time and to us. I'm the true vine. And that means that only Jesus can produce God's life in us. Now, all of us have physical life who are in this place today. And many of us have the Lord's life in us because Christ, by his Holy Spirit, has come to live within our life. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine. And this is a word picture given by Jesus that's so significant. A branch firmly attached to a strong vine. Just contrast that for a moment, because the Jewish people, and Jesus was speaking to Jewish men at that time, they thought the true vine was Israel. I was just reading that in my own daily Bible reading this week. That in the Old Testament, the Jewish people thought the vine, the true vine, was the nation of Israel. And so to be connected with the nation of Israel was the most important thing in terms of your relationship with God. But now Jesus is saying to them, I want you to know, man, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. It's not that you're a Jewish person. Let me have us think of it this way, folks. To what could you and I be connected in life that would produce the life of the Lord of God himself within us? For example, we're involved in a political season. Could we be connected to a political philosophy or a religious philosophy? Would that produce the life, the fruit of God within us? Or an economic investment system? Or a scientific system such as evolution? What Jesus is saying to them and to us is he's the vine that people can be connected with, attached to. Let me use an illustration. We were having dinner with one of our families when I was a pastor in Wausau, and he pointed out to an apple tree outside of the window in the dining room, and he said, Pastor and Marianne, there are seven different kind of apples on that tree. 7 kinds of apples. And he was a skilled farmer type of man, and he had attached or grafted apples from 7 different kinds of trees, and it was successful. And so that one tree was producing 7 varieties of apples on that beautiful summer day. Grafted. That's the picture that the Scripture gives. When you come to believe Jesus, the Son of God, you believe Him because He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. God does a marvelous work. You're grafted to the true vine. That's true for every one of us who's here today. You have been grafted, and God and the roots and the trunk and of the tree produces the very life of the Son of God within you as a believer. Now, He said, I'm the true vine. And also notice He said, it bears fruit. And that's a promise, folks. God's promise and purpose is that your life and my life will be a one day at a time life of abundant, bountiful fruit. And in this example, Jesus is teaching us the difference between religious striving, religious works, and supernatural fruitfulness. What is God's desire for me today as a believer, a fervent believer in Jesus Christ? Is God's desire that my Christian life will be human works, effort, striving? Or is His desire that I'll be a branch receiving the life of Christ into my life and producing divine fruit? When Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians, we'll not take time to turn to this right now, he said, I give thanks to God for the abundant fruitfulness in your life. When you listen to this morning, can you pray and say, Dear Lord, my passion, my desire for this one and only life that You've given to me is for You, through Jesus Christ, to produce Your fruit, Your life in my body, soul, and spirit. Paul calls that in Romans chapter 6, newness of life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, that you may experience that newness of life. I'm the true vine, and I cause you to bear fruit. And notice, I didn't want to miss this phrase in the first 3 verses. Because of the Word. What is it that God uses in our life to bring this about? It's because of the Word. It's God's supernatural Word that produces Christ's life in the believer. Why is this small group of people so interested in the Word of God? Because we believe God's Word can bring about the fruitfulness of the life of Christ within us. Let me have you compare it. When you hear of a radical Muslim, a young man who presents himself as a suicide bomber to destroy a building or to destroy a group of people, what is it that causes a man to do that? I've pondered that. What causes so many of the fervent Muslim people to be willing to give their life to destroy the infidels? Friends, it's the Word that they believe in. It's the book. They also have a supernatural book. It's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, as the Bible is, but it's supernatural because it comes from the enemy, Satan. And why are they willing to sacrifice life itself? Because of the Word. And why is it that Christians, believers in Christ, dedicate their lives, such as we read about the missionaries this morning among the megabit people? Why are they willing to do that? Why do they give their life for that? It's because of the Word. God has put that passion in our heart because of His Word. I am the true vine, Jesus said. I'm the true vine. It bears fruit because of the Word. Now, the second phrase I'd like for us to notice begins in verse 4. And would you follow as I read verses 4 to 7? It's the phrase, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, God brought this truth to my life When I was a young, hard-working pastor in Madison, Wisconsin, I didn't know about this for the first 10 years of my ministry. And since that time, that this idea from Jesus Christ came to my mind and heart, I want to tell you, folks, I've needed to learn this transforming promise every single day. I want to tell you this morning when I preach to you about that, there's never a day in my life when I can say, Lord, I've got it made. I've got it all nailed down. I want to be honest with you this morning, folks, as a pastor in this church. It's my daily moment-by-moment desire and prayer to learn this idea, to know it more fully. And I want you to notice two insights in verses 4 to 7 that Jesus points out. First of all, he's showing his men at that time, during the time of their worry and anticipation of his death, you cannot do it yourselves, men. I'm about to die on the cross, be buried for 3 days and three nights, be raised from the dead, and go back to the Father. But you can't do it on your own. Without me, you can do nothing. I have a couple of apple trees outside of my study where we live across the lake. And there were a few apples this year, but not enough to make a pie. But think of it this way. Suppose I look at one of those attractive apple branches and decide to go out and clip it off and take it in and put on the hearth of our fireplace as a decoration. Will it produce apples? Certainly not. It needs to be abiding. And the understanding that Jesus is giving to us today, folks, that he gave to his men, is that we can never be like Jesus. I don't mean to insult anyone this morning by this statement, but there's not one person in this room, including the preacher, and that preacher back there, was able to be like Jesus. We can't do it. We can't change our life. On our own, we cannot produce fruit in and of ourselves. And this is one of the things about our hymn books, the songs in our hymn books that troubles me. So many of our songs imply that we should try to live the Christian life in our own energy. Try to be like Christ. Try to be as loving and as forgiving as he is. And that was my personal plan in the beginning of my life when I was converted to Christ. He saved me, and now I'm going to do my best to live for him. And I tried that for a number of years, and it led to discouragement and despair and depression. The fruitful life, the supernatural life, is a life that only Jesus can live. I can't live it for him. But what he's saying to his disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, Thomas, Bartholomew, he's saying to these men, you can't do it. Without me, you can do nothing. When I leave you and go back to the Father in heaven, you cannot do it. I must live my life in and through you. We had a preacher in our church in Wausau as a guest speaker. Some of you have read his books, Major Ian Thomas. Major Ian Thomas, an Englishman, was the founder of the Torchbearers. A really interesting preacher, interesting personality. But I can still see him standing before our congregation, and he kind of bounced when he preached. And his one finger was gone. It had been cut off. And he'd lift up that finger and he'd say, you can't. He was an Englishman. You can't. But he can. And that was a major thing that we learned in his preaching. And that's what Jesus is saying to those people. He's saying, you can't do it. And the application, folks, and this may seem surprising, is that we need to quit trying to be like Jesus. We need to quit trying to be something and somebody that we can never be like. And we need to make our lives available to him who has come to live in our life, not that we would imitate him, but that he might live his life in us. Do you know that this morning, dear friend in Christ, that the reason Jesus Christ came to live in your life is he came to live his life in and through your life. It's not our attempt or our ability. It's not our striving. We need to stop striving and trying, and we need to begin understanding what it means to be attached attached to the true vine. And to understand His indwelling presence, we've been looking at that a number of times since we've been in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and 15. We need to understand we have a relationship. We have a bond with Christ. And He's come to live in our life. First of all, Jesus is saying, abide in me because you can't live the Christian life. The only one who can live the Christian life effectively is Christ. Paul said that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Do you believe that part of the Scripture? And then he's saying, when he's telling us to abide in him, folks, he's saying we need to choose between a withered, barren life, and he's talking to believers, and a life of abundant fruitfulness. That's a choice that Christ is presenting before these men at that time. And he's saying, men, there are just two possibilities pictured in the vineyard. You can be a withered, barren branch that the husbandman will chop off and throw on a bonfire and turn into smoke and ashes. Or you can be a branch just laden down with abundant fruit produced in and through you by Jesus Christ. And the secret is to abide, to learn what it is to abide. Let me use an illustration. Years ago, when I lived in Minnesota with my folks, my dad was an avid deer hunter, and he taught his three boys to become avid deer hunters. And in November, Dad would take us all up into the northern woods of north of Park Rapids, Minnesota. We'd be bundled up with lots of clothes because the snow was deep and it was cold. Mother would send along a big lunch and a thermos of hot chocolate for each one of us. And we'd tramp in the dark in the morning back into a deer stand. And Dad would say, now, Dick, I want you to stay right here. You can build yourself a fire. We had matches and supplies to start a bonfire to keep warm during the day. I want you to stay here until I come and get you. And he said, even if you get cold, you stay here and wait for me. And if you should happen to shoot a deer with your shotgun and slugs, you stay right here. You wait. Don't wander around in the woods, because, folks, those woods in Wisconsin, if we get lost in our woods and wander far enough, we'll come to Lake Superior. But in Minnesota, if you get lost and start wandering, you will end up at the North Pole. You'll go through Canada, and it's a long journey. And so Dad would say, you stay right here until I come and get you. And when I was thinking of what Christ is saying about abiding, that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, my followers, my disciples, I want you to stay right here, and you'll experience an abundant, fruitful life if you stay with me. And it's not talking about a physical attachment. We obviously know that. It's talking about a mental, heart, soul attachment to Jesus Christ. He's saying, man, no matter what's going to happen now, stay with me. Abide with me. Continue in this attachment to me, and you'll bring forth much fruit. I'll produce that within your life. Stay with me. I am the true vine. Abide in me. And then will you come down, please, to verse 8, and the third phrase that I'm going to highlight is, my Father is glorified. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There's a question, I think, for every one of us when we look at that eighth verse. Let's contemplate this right now individually, personally. Is the persistent longing of my heart for God to be glorified within me? The psalmist, Psalm chapter 19, says we can go out and we look around at the display of the universe, and we can see the fantastic creation power and glory of our Savior. He did it. Even this morning early, bright when it was dark and early, the stars were sparkling before the clouds moved in. And you look out at this universe and even the display of the fall colors, and you see the glory of God. But Jesus is saying there's another way that God is glorified, and that's when we abide in Christ. If we choose to stay with Him, and He'll produce His life, His abundant fruitfulness in and through our life. Jesus has come to live in us, to reveal Himself and to manifest Himself within us. Let me use an example. Since we're in this political season, suppose you're a Christian politician, and we know of some Christian politicians running for offices in America right now. What's your ambition? If you were a Christian governor, for example, running to be the leader of this state, what's your purpose? Is the bottom line purpose of your life the glory of God? Or is the purpose of your life to change culture, to bring about a better economic situation in our state? What's the purpose of your life? And the point that Jesus is making is that God wants you, as a branch attached to Jesus Christ, to live with this purpose every day, that God will be glorified in my life. When God looked at Jesus at the time of the baptism, He said, "I'm well pleased." At the time of the Transfiguration, "I'm well pleased with Jesus." And the bottom line application this morning is, can He look at my life and can He say, "I'm well pleased because I see Jesus Christ living in that man's life"? The awesomeness, can you grasp this? The one thing God wants to see in your life and my life today and tomorrow and every day until Christ comes, He wants to look at our life and see Christ living His life in and through us. He doesn't necessarily want to look at our life and see that we're striving and trying to be better people. He wants to look at our life and see that we have decided to live in that relationship that's called attachment, abiding with God's Son, Jesus Christ. And when He sees that happening, as you and I are choosing to abide in Christ, to stop our efforts and to trust Christ to live in our life, God receives glory. One more phrase we'll look at, folks, in this text. We've looked at, "I am the true vine. Abide in me. My Father is glorified." And come down to verse 16, "that your fruit should remain. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give you." This is a stunning awareness when you stop and ponder what Jesus is telling us. He's saying the only thing that's going to remain for eternity from my life and your life is the fruit produced by Christ. The efforts, the hard works, the determination, no, that won't last. What is going to last is the fruit that Jesus produces within us. He longs for that, for you and me today, just to be an abiding branch and trusting Him to produce His life in and through us. Folks, that's a connection that we have with Christ. I want to tell you this, as I grow older, I realize that many of the things I have valued in my life will not last much longer. The place where I live, my pets, my family relationships, my health, the privilege of preaching the Word. It's not going to last a whole lot longer. But what will remain from 60 plus years of witnessing for Christ and preaching the Word? What will remain is fruit produced by Jesus Christ, His life in and through me. Paul said someday when we stand before God at the end of life, all of our life is going to be like a pile of wood, hay, and straw compared to gold, silver, and precious stones. And all of the wood, hay, and straw is going to be burned away and left as ashes. And the gold and the silver, the precious stones will remain. That's my desire. Is that your desire this morning, dear friends? To abide in Christ? Have you found that to be the passion in your own heart? When I left the church as a pastor in Madison, Wisconsin, a lady gave me a painting. She had that gift of painting, and she said, "Pastor, I want to give this to you." And she gave me a painting of a grape branch attached to a vine. I've treasured that all of these years, because the reason she gave me that painting, she understood from Scripture that that is what the Christian life is. It's being a branch, branches only, attached to the Son of God. And wherever we are, whatever's taking place in the world, Jesus Christ is saying, men, stay with me. Don't leave. Stay with me. Remain in attachment, connection, abiding relationship with me, whatever comes. And the result of that is that he'll produce fruit in and through our life. I wanted to overview that and have us look at it this morning just for our own practical application. I hope it's our prayer. Let's bow, please, right now. Our Father, we really long for the words, the idea that Jesus was presenting to be much more than a sermon that we've listened to or a talk. It's the desire of our heart to learn from Jesus what it means to abide. Make this clear, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Impress this on our hearts today. Thank you for being so faithful, so patient, so generous, so available to us, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.